reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. Big Al is sitting at the New York Hard Asset Investment Conference with Corey and with our mutual friend Jay Taylor. You know, Jay, you've been following the mining sector from an investment standpoint certainly longer than I have. You've been doing your newsletter for 1981, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And I've learned an awful lot from you. And you know, I have a question. Right now, penny stocks, for lack of better terms, and let's be kind, and let's say the speculative nature of the stocks in the mining industry, they're selling at prices that are unheard of. I mean, there's some companies are selling at less cash value than they actually have in the bank. When do you see this thing turning around, Jay?
It's really difficult to know exactly when things turn around, but I think I'm starting to follow the work of an individual named Charles Nanner, N-E-N-N-E-R, who had spent some 15 years working with Goldman Sachs. He's a medical doctor that sort of noticed these cycles that take place in nature, and started applying them to the markets. So he uses cycles along with logarithms and a host of other technical analyses. And he has been absolutely brilliant. I started using Nanner's work a little bit to trade different things. I've made some money shorting natural gas recently. There's sometimes short trades, short-term trades. But in terms of gold and silver, he's been saying he's quite confident that mid-June is going to be a turning point. So his record is very, very strong and as good as any. I mean, I've never been a timer, but I think timing is everything, as they say in this business. So I think that's the best I have to go on. I think we could see a drop yet in the gold price if you look at the charts, possibly down to just a little north of $1,000, honestly, because that's where the real support is. But we shouldn't be down there too long, given all that's going on in the world and the tremendous demand for the physical metal that is present in the world.
Jay, I agree with you on many facts there, that I foresee still a slight pullback coming down because there is support in the gold industry, in the gold market. But right now it's still really shaky. No one is still really rushing into it. But getting to the fact of the actual stocks, there are obviously fantastic deals out there. And you're always better to come in a little bit too early before the bottom than to completely miss it and try to pick it on the upswing when it's sometimes too late, especially for the high-quality stocks that rebound quicker and faster than really the penny stocks that will always struggle even in a good market. But the stocks that will rebound and come back up quicker, I think, are a great buy right now. I don't think you'll see them rebound in the next really couple months. As I said, we're coming up into summer. Summer is historically tough for us, but when they do take off, they're going to be the first ones to go, and that's almost how I judge when we're going to hit the bottom, is when these stocks just start taking off before anything else.
Right. No, I agree with you completely. I it's hard to say exactly when we get a real good bounce, but it is a great market if you have cash. And if you're a little bit patient, I mean, the question is, if we get a low in mid-June, which I think is very possible, you know, the question is, do we linger around at the bottom? Are we going to see a V-shaped recovery? But whether or not that's the case, what is really nice about this kind of a market, and there's not much that is nice, but what's really good about it for those that have cash is that you can really start to find some real bargains if you look at the basic fundamentals of these companies. The cash, the projects, this and that, the management. Now's the time. And so what I've tried to do with my own portfolio, even as prices were going down, and in some cases selling at a loss just to build cash, believing that this was a bear market, that we would have better opportunities in the future. And I think we're very close to the bottom time-wise. Whether we're there dollar-wise yet, I don't know.
You know, what I think is interesting right now are the opportunities, you guys, that are available in the resource sector in general. Now, I mean, we've been focusing for the first part of this segment, and we've been focusing a lot on this particular show in its entirety on precious metals, and precious metals is truly my first love, and everybody knows why. But I think there are some real interesting opportunities available in the resource sector for people who are willing to diversify. As an example, I think the energy sector right now is looking pretty good, and I think that companies involved in, for example, energy services are pretty good right now.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And there's an energy tech company that I like an awful lot called Cinedin that's here at this show. Paul Van Eden's a director on that company. It's one that I've recommended to my subscribers. I've talked about them on my own radio show. And it's a company that is probably the best technology in the world of being able to determine at early stages any sort of leakages in natural gas and oil pipelines. And so I think it's a really low-cap stock. I think that has a chance to be a real moonshot.
What I really like about some of these services companies especially, but also the energy companies, is that they can turn around, or they can at least generate revenues much quicker than these mining stocks. They don't need to spend sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars to earn their first dollar. And a lot of these companies aren't really looking for the takeout factor of it. The guys that are running these energy companies are looking to develop an energy company and not hopefully get bought out by one of the majors, because to me that's a whole nother factor that you can't control and that is completely out of their hands. As for bringing something into production and producing a tangible product, it goes a lot further in my books, and just from a fundamental business standpoint, if you're making money, you're in way better shape than when you're simply just spending it.
Well, particularly right now, because basically right now it's the junior resource companies that are involved in precious metals are really, really finding it very, very difficult to, for lack of better terms, get enough money to keep going. I mean, to raise money, raising money right now is very, very difficult. I know that Ken Hoffman, Jay, during the last segment brought up the fact that, you know, that there are markets that still are open to those people, and I appreciate that. But the nice thing about a lot of the energy deals is, you know, they're pretty self-sufficient, for lack of better terms. Interest of full disclosure, by the way, I have to say that the company that you mentioned that Paul is a director of, Big Al is a shareholder, so whatever I have to say about that company certainly would not be arm's length. You know, Jay, million-dollar question right now. Marshall Barrel, Malcolm Gibson are really hot on uranium, particularly for 2013. How about Jay Taylor?
Yeah, I think it's probably time for to take a look at some uranium stocks. There's a couple that I like, and but looking at the metal itself, to the extent the supplies coming out of Russia are not going to be there, in the United States in particular, we consume something like 55 million pounds a year of uranium, and we produce 4 million or something like that. So there's Uranium Energy as a company that I follow that has good growth prospects with its satellite ISL project mines at in Texas. I think that's one to look at. And there's some others as well, but I think it might be a good time to take a look at buying some energy, some uranium companies.
We've actually been talking about uranium for the last year now, is that with these plants, especially in Japan, even other places in the world that are coming back online, there is that demand there. The demand has always been there, and I've continued to say that in these tough financial times, countries can't continue to keep on investing and developing green energy as rapidly as they have. They need to get back and focus on what works so that they can get their balance sheets back in order. And to me, the first thing they will do is go back to uranium or continue on with uranium. And the supply is there. We just need to get it out of the ground. The demand has been there forever. Barring another black swan event or natural disaster, I see uranium continuing to increase, or at least continuing to build this solid base that it's at right now and not be dropping like we're seeing other metals. Uranium has actually built up quite a solid base, and for these other companies to bring more mines online, they're going to need a higher uranium price.
We're almost to the point where the options for energy, right now we sure we have a lot of options, but in the relatively near future, that really isn't going to be the case. Take a listen to Jay's show, Turning Hard Times into Good Times. It's very, very good. It's on the Talk America Network. You can learn a lot from it. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. Big Al's going to be right back.
Our Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The 9th Annual Health Freedom Expo returns June 7th through June 9th at the Schaumburg Convention Center in Schaumburg, Illinois, featuring over 75 world-renowned doctors, activists, and experts. Meet Dr. Joel Wallach, author of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, actress and activist Daryl Hannah, famed Dr. Patch Adams, women's health expert Dr. Joan Borisenko, GMO activist Jeffrey Smith, and renowned natural health doctor Dr. Joseph Mercola. Sample delicious, healthy foods. Watch award-winning documentaries. Attend exciting panel discussions. Discover the latest natural health products. And be sure to check out the expo hall, filled with 200 exhibitors. Don't forget about the new interactive pavilions and receive free screenings. It's all here under one roof for only $20 a day or $45 for the entire three-day weekend. It costs less than a doctor's visit. But hurry, tickets are going fast. For tickets and info, visit healthfreedomexpo.com or call 888-658-3972. The Health Freedom Expo, your one source for total natural health solutions.
There's been a disaster, and most of you don't even realize the terrible danger we're in. Alex Jones has warned you for years to get a good food storage. We thought the danger was drought, or food delivered to our gas tanks, or our food sold to other countries, or food so expensive that only those on food stamps and welfare could afford it. But we have just experienced the most effective way to lose your freedom, liberty, and security without even a fight. Government regulation. After a 160-year tradition of self-reliance, the do-it-yourself and charitable Mormon food storage canneries in half the country are forced to shut down due to excessive government regulations. Grow your own food, more regulations. If you've ever been warned to get food while you can, this is it. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour, continuing to listen to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. Mr. Deist is with me right now. You know, Jeff, I have to tell you, I had the pleasure of introducing your former boss, Congressman Ron Paul, back in New York here on Monday. I got to tell you, what a wonderful human being. You know, we had about 20 minutes before the speech to chit-chat, for lack of better terms. And even more interesting, after the speech, Ron was absolutely mobbed. People came rushing backstage. They wanted to, behind the stage, they wanted to chat with him. They wanted autographs. They wanted pictures. You know, and the people, were they really represented, I have to tell you, man, the entire spectrum of society. I ended up speaking with a rabbi for probably 10 or 15 minutes. This guy is absolutely, in spite of Ron's stance, you know, as a lot of people, you know, accuse him of having a somewhat jaded stance on foreign policy, this rabbi was not reformed. He was a conservative rabbi, and he had nothing but positive things to say about the guy. You know, and I said, you know, you remind me of an audience that my friend Jeff was telling me about where Ron can get as large and enthusiastic an audience at the University of California at Berkeley as he got at Brigham Young University in Utah. And I said, you know, you're another example of that, Rabbi, of people who they really see beyond some of the crap that the press says about this guy. I mean, he's quite a human being, Jeff.
He really is. He's not slowing down. I mean, here he is, finally retired from Congress, 78 years old, and a lot of his critics, I think, on both the left and the right were hoping he would sort of go away quietly. He's not doing that at all. He's got a very full slate of speaking engagements, paid speaking engagements. He's doing at least three or four a month. He's appearing at places like the trade show you were at, major universities. He's still operating his 501c4 organization, Campaign for Liberty. He's got his new foundation, the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. He's doing podcasts with radio host Charles Goyette, and he's about to launch what is going to be an online content video segment to his ever-growing enterprise as well. So he's indefatigable. He's in great shape physically, and he's just doing really well. And I think your point about the rabbi shows that, I mean, you want true diversity, you need to have liberty, because liberty is the only system that allows all of us to sort of be who we want to be and allow us to have vibrant, flourishing, you know, civil society.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't surprise me. But, yeah, you get the college kids, you know, all the way up to World War II generation vets, you know, and everything in between. So that's really Ron Paul in a nutshell, and I think he's doing great work.
You know, what's interesting about a comment you just made was the 501c4 organizations that you're talking about. Boy, I've got to tell you, what a can of worms that situation is turning into. There has been nothing in the press, really, of any consequence for almost a week now, aside from the targeting that the IRS profiling, and I have to call it profiling, man, that the IRS has done on conservative groups. And I find that to be just absolutely, I'm amazed, quite frankly, that the president let this happen on his watch, because how stupid does he think the American people are? How stupid does he think that the politicians on the other side of the fence are? You know, I want to get your opinion on that. And you know, you're a tax attorney by education, by profession, et cetera. You've done that type of work in the past. I mean, this thing is crazy, Jeff. It's Watergate all over again.
Well, I hope so. I hope it is, Al, in the sense that I hope it's taken seriously and becomes a big deal for the American public, and I hope it harms Obama because he's a bad guy and he deserves to take the political hit. But it's really fascinating the way this has totally eclipsed Benghazi, and I think that's because the IRS is something that really hits home. It's really personal for Americans. In other words, for a lot of folks out there, their only real direct dealings with the federal government is every year when they do their taxes.
Yeah.
And everybody knows someone, if not themselves, someone close to them who's been audited or had a problem with the IRS. So it's really hits home, you know, it's really personal. And look, there's a long history of presidents using the IRS for their own diabolical political purposes to go after enemies. FDR was notorious for it. LBJ, my God, was absolutely notorious about it. But in the past, it's been more going after individuals. In other words, enemies, opponents who were generally wealthy, you know, trying to cause them political problems or economic problems. But this is so much deeper and so much wider. I mean, it was using the IRS to sort of squelch your political opposition. And I think it's going to resonate. I think it's going to have legs. And if nothing else, it's going to hurt the Dems, I think, in the next midterm. It may not ultimately hurt Obama, But it is awfully convenient how we're now finding out that a lot of this stuff was known before the election, and yet it was suppressed until now.
You know, the thing that bothers me is everything that I have, every fear that I've had about the current administration really appears to be coming true. You know, it really does. It's, you mentioned Benghazi. Well, I mean, we had a high-ranking U.S. servant who was killed over there, and there were cover-ups, there were lies, etc., about that. You know, then you have the situation with the IRS where they're coming in and they are targeting conservative groups. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I found it interesting. You know, I was flying back from New York, Jeff, yesterday. It's a long flight, you know, across country, about 6.5 hours with the weather that we had. So I pretty much devoured the New York Times, which I do read on occasion, cover to cover. And their slant on this IRS situation is absolutely amazing to me. You know, the editorial, the op-ed page in the New York Times was filled with, yes, it was a terrible thing to do, but so what? I mean, you know, it is just amazing how the largest paper, arguably the largest, most influential paper in the United States, is now taking that tact. I don't understand it, Jeff.
Well, sure. I think there's a lot of folks in America who like Obama and see this purely as the Republicans going after him politically. And they say, well, you know, these 501c4 organizations should be scrutinized.
And they should, sure.
I think we're going to find out, though. I think even the Dems are starting to admit that we're going to find out that it did go deeper than that, in the sense that it was really targeted and that lots of groups on the left were given a pass or given very quick certification. But look, I mean, with regard to these 501c4s, I mean, it's very murky. They're designed for charitable and social benefit. Well, 501c3s are more for charitable purposes. 501c4s are more for social welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And they're allowed to do some political activity. It's not supposed to be a majority of their conduct. They are not permitted to, you know, actively engage in campaigning for or against a particular candidate, but they're allowed very wide latitude when it comes to issue advocacy. In other words, if you're a 501c4, you can't come out with an ad that says vote for Romney, you know, or vote against Obama, but you can come out with an ad that says Obamacare is terrible.
Jeff, got to interrupt you just for a second here. Unfortunately, we've got to take a real quick break for the cause here. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to hear exactly the technicalities behind this particular issue. Be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
'Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
Strike Hard
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of 6 number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with nature's natural antiparasitic, antiviral, antifungal, antibiotic, Allicin, the heart of garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills with no garlic breath. Alli-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with 3 times more strength than leading brands and cost less. Go to alli-c.com, spelled alli-c.com, or call 855-ALLISON. That's 855-255-4246. That's 855-255-4246. Protect yourself with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products at alli-c.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, back on this issue with the Internal Revenue Service, the targeting, it's interesting. The liberals in this country are very, very, what's the best way to put it? They're very, very sensitive to profiling, right? Well, this IRS thing to me, Mr. Dice, strikes me as being an absolutely a wonderful example of profiling here, certainly not racial profiling, but certainly I would have to say political profiling, for lack of better terms. Why is a 501c4 organization? Why are they so difficult to not understand exactly what's going on just on the surface, or am I making it too complicated?
Well, no, you're not making it too complicated. I think if you talk to lawyers who practice in this area of tax exempt organizations, It's pretty murky what a 501c4 is allowed to do or not do, and it's also pretty murky as to who should be allowed to obtain 501c4 status to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the main thing to understand is that if you get 501 status, all the donations and money you raise, you don't pay any income taxes on it.
Okay.
And 501c4s, but as I was discussing earlier in the last segment, they're allowed to politic. They're allowed to go out there and be involved in issue advocacy, and they're allowed to come awfully close to campaigning for or against a candidate, but they're not allowed to expressly do that. But unlike a PAC, for instance, unlike a normal congressional or presidential campaign, 501c4s generally don't have to list their donors.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that drives a lot of people crazy, people who believe in campaign finance reform, because they say, look, it's not transparent, and wealthy people can give unlimited sums to these 501c4s. No one ever knows who gave. It's not tax deductible, by the way, unlike a 501c3. When you give money to a 501c4 like Ron Paul's Campaign for Liberty, you don't deduct it. But nonetheless, you can give unlimited amounts, and the 501c4 does not have to disclose your name to anybody. And so a lot of people say, well, gee whiz, this perverts the democratic process because these rich fat cats can give all this money, and then the 501c4 can go out there and do these really strong ads on issues.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly disagree with that view. Congressman Paul certainly does. I mean, we fought, Ron Paul was a plaintiff in a lawsuit against McCabe-Feingold. We view it as a free speech issue. And look, the problem with too much money in politics is too much money influencing government.
Let me stop you just for a second. Tell me, when you say we view it as being a free speech issue, can you elaborate on that for me a little bit?
Sure. You can't tell someone that they can't give money to somebody who wants to run for Congress or run for president or whatever. I mean, it goes against the First Amendment. This is a form of expression. It's your money, and candidates are allowed to run, and you're allowed to support them, at least in my view. And I think people are going after the symptoms, not the cause. In other words, everyone worries about all this money making its way to candidates or making its way to lobbyists or to PACs. And the real problem is that government is too big and too powerful and doles out too many rewards. You know, if we had a small government that was limited to doing a few basic functions, then nobody would bother to spend all this money on lobbying or running for office, because it wouldn't matter that much. I mean, we don't need to get money out of politics. We need to shrink government, get money out of government, and stop confusing the symptom with the cure. I mean, that's a little broader issue, campaign finance reform, than what's going on right now with Mr. Obama and the IRS. But I got to tell you, Al, this one might have some legs. I mean, you and I talked about Benghazi a week or two back, and I really thought that the press was going to let Obama get by on that. But I'm not so sure that the American people agree. I think this one might really hurt him.
Well, it might really hurt him. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this thing unfolds over the next, week or what have you. If it stays as strong as it is, then I think he could have a bumpy road ahead of him. But I have to tell you one thing, Jeff. I have never, and correct me if I'm wrong, okay? Watergate was clearly, what Richard Nixon did was wrong. There's no question about that, okay? But having said that, I'm not so sure if it were anyone other than Richard Nixon, for example, a liberal, I'm not really sure that you would have had Whitworth, the two gentlemen who wrote the book, and I'm not sure you would have had the Washington Post story following it that closely if the tables had been turned, and it had been a liberal president as opposed to a conservative president. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting paranoid, but I really believe that's the case, Jeff. You think I'm nuts?
No, you're not nuts. The media hated
Woodworth and Bernstein. Woodward and Bernstein, sorry.
I mean, it wasn't so much a liberal conservative thing. It was just the media hated Nixon. And there's no question that today the media overwhelmingly trends left. Most members of the media self-identify as Democrats, and that's fine. And surely they've given Obama a lot of cover. I mean, Obama was a junior senator and had no business ever being elected president. He's so wildly over his head, it defies common sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, here I think after 6 years of sort of pent up frustration, I think the American people are starting to realize that this guy's an empty suit, and maybe he's worse than that. Maybe he's a malevolent person in the sense that he used the IRS as sort of his own political hatchet shop. So we're going to find out more, I think, but the bottom line here is that the IRS has an awful lot of arbitrary power. I mean, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of IRS officials over the years, Treasury officials. I've worked on tax cases with medium and higher level IRS personnel. I got to know Charles Rosati, who is former commissioner of the IRS. And for the most part, they're bureaucratic types and tax policy wonkish types more than they are political types. But, at the top, at the very top levels, the levels that come and go with each administration, there are people that are beholden to the president, and you can't dismiss these allegations and just say it's all the Republicans going after Obama. I think there's some actual substance here, unlike maybe the Benghazi thing, which might just be a case of a a foul-up and not providing adequate security to an embassy.
I want you to tell me, Jeff, one high-profile liberal politician. We all know that politicians, you know, are on the edge in a lot of their actions. Not all of them, but a bunch of them are on the edge in terms of their actions. And I want you to tell me one liberal politician who has suffered the slander, for lack of better terms, that the conservative politicians suffer. Can you think of one?
Well,
probably not.
You know, it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
And we're in a new media age, too, so everything's changed as compared to 20 or 30 years ago. But I think you're right.
Look at the coverage.
It does trend one way.
Look at the coverage that President Clinton got in terms of the situation with Monica Lewinsky, which is clearly immoral, and clearly the president of, you know, arguably the strongest country in the world back in that time anyway, he should have been absolutely lambasted by the press. That absolutely was not. There were all kinds of excuses. There were comparisons made to European politicians. You know, look, it's a totally normal over there. Who cares what happens over here? He was probably the closest politician that could have gotten really ramrodded, and he didn't. The only guy who got ramrodded, I think, thinking about it, going back a few years now, is probably Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter got ramrodded because he was inept, for lack of better terms. I mean, the situation in Iran with the hostage situation was not handled at all well by the President of the United States. And, quite frankly, the press took after him a little bit. But I don't see the press taking after anyone other than perhaps Carter to an extent, but any liberal politician. I mean, you know, you look at the press that Ronald Reagan got, you look at the press that Bush Sr. got, you go on to the press that Bush Jr. got. I mean, Bush Jr. on primetime television daily was absolutely ridiculed, you know, and I got to tell you, in other countries, if the leader of the country was ridiculed to the extent that President Bush was ridiculed, and I think it was wrongly, would have been big, big trouble for that particular portion of media. Stick around, you guys. We're going to be right back. More heated discussion.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
What's more amazing than a Swiss Army knife? A survival business card. It's 11 functions rolled into one pocket-sized tool, including a sharp knife, a saw, a bottle opener, and a can opener, too. It even has a wrench. It lays flat, fits right in your wallet. A survival multi-tool for your wallet, leather-like sheath included, designed to be practical and built to last. Yours free. That's right, free. Claim yours right now while supplies last at freesurvivaltool.com. Again, that's freesurvivaltool.com. Bills in front of Congress right now could take away your right to keep and bear arms. If Obama has his way, all guns will be either banned, restricted, or confiscated, possibly by executive order. The best way to keep your guns is to hide them. What Obama can't find, Obama can't take away. You can protect your guns from any threat. Download our special report, How to Hide Your Guns, at GoHideYourGuns.com. Learn how to hide your guns while keeping them readily available. Get the report now before they make us take it down. On the web at GoHideYourGuns.com.
I lost 18 pounds in just 4 days. Want to know how? Hi, I'm James Zetta. If you're like me, you've already tried and failed at many diet and weight loss plans. But if you still need and want to lose weight, if you're searching for a simple, safe, healthy approach to lose weight that is extremely easy to follow, listen to this. The 18-4 weight loss plan requires no exercising, no diet pills or additives, no laxatives, no meal replacements, and no diet drinks. The 18-4 program can help you lose 10, 20, 30 pounds or more, and it fits both men and women of all ages. The 18-4 program is crystal clear with a day-to-day, step-by-step, and meal-to-meal guide. And the best part? If you're not satisfied with your results, I will give you my 30-day full money-back guarantee. This program has helped thousands lose 18 pounds in 4 days, and it can do the same for you. Go to 18and4.com. That's the number 18, I-N, the number 4.com. 18and4.com. Easy to download, easy to start losing weight today with 18and4.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
You know, Jeff, there's an old saying in life that for anyone who has ever gotten to, I would have to say, a level of importance, and that saying is the buck stops here. And, you know, I don't hear our president saying that very often, Jeff. Do you?
No, he really isn't. And with respect to this IRS scandal, he basically sounded petulant and petty and defensive. I mean, he came out and basically said, I knew nothing about this. But then he directed his Treasury Secretary, Jack Lew, IRS is under Treasury, to basically ask for the resignation of Steve Miller, the acting commissioner. And, you know, so Miller gave it, but as acting commissioner, he only had a one-year tenure, I believe. He was up in June anyway. So the whole thing comes across as someone who's, from Obama's perspective, is a little behind the curve, who doesn't realize that this thing is snowballing and wants to still be dismissive of it to think that he can make it go away. And, you know, I suspect that he's miscalculating because he's used to the media being in his pocket. And now I think the media is just looking for something, and they're not in his pocket necessarily, or not to the extent that they usually are. So I'm not sure that that's going to work. I think he would have been a lot better off saying, you know, the buck stops with me, and to the extent this was happening under my watch, I take responsibility. And I think that the reason he can't say that is because this was not just a couple of rogue employees in the Cincinnati office, as they first tried to say. You know, this may have been systemic. This may have been sort of coming from higher up saying, look, let's purposefully take a harder look at certain groups that are of a conservative bent, and let's slow play them, and let's rubber stamp the applications of liberal groups simply because we want to hurt our political enemies. Mm-hmm. And if that's true, and if that's at least somewhat provable, you know, his the whole thing about I knew nothing about it is going to start to really be called into question.
Well, you know, I would have to say that if I were to compare this to the last big brouhaha, and the last big brouhaha, you know, we've had a lot of stuff happen since Watergate. You know, you had the no weapons of mass destruction. I think that's I quite frankly think that was an honest mistake. You had the situation with you know, Bill Clinton totally cheating on his wife. You know, and it is what it is. Human nature is what it is, and that isn't necessarily a terrible thing to do. I think it's a terrible thing to do, but you know, you're not gonna get any place on that one. In terms of the stuff that went on between the Nixon era And today, I would have to say that there was some stuff that was, yes, it was important, but it wasn't what I would call critically important. The situation with Watergate, you know, when you look at more than just the bugging, for lack of better terms, of the Democratic headquarters, but you look at the implications, you look at the other things that were involved there vis-a-vis the war at the time in the Far East, and the fact that, you know, it was, there was a big cover up there with some of the stuff that Nixon did. And for that reason, I think that the man truly deserved to be forced to resign. In this case, I think it's as important. And the reason I say that, Jeff, is because you've got a guy who is clearly wants big government with no whatsoever responsibility, with no responsibility on the part of government for doing things that are not correct. This IRS thing is a great example. The Benghazi thing, it's a great example. And unfortunately, I've just got this gut-level feeling that the majority of this country, given the demographics in our country, and I think everybody understands the implications of that statement, I'm not sure that anything bad is going to happen here. And I think that this was easily as bad, Jeff, as the total Watergate picture.
Oh, absolutely. And with most of these presidential scandals, it's interesting. They always take place in the second term.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you look at Iran-Contra, if you look at Clinton and Monica, if you look at Watergate. But the thing is here is oftentimes the cover-up is worse than the underlying problem. In other words, with Benghazi, let's say the administration and the State Department and Hillary Clinton screwed up and failed to understand the intelligence surrounding the embassy in Libya, failed to provide marine or whatever protection. And as a result, horribly, some of our ambassador and some others were killed, some other American citizens were killed. As a result, if you came out and said, look, mea culpa, we misread the situation, we were negligent with the intelligence.
But they're not doing that.
You know, that would be better than trying to cover it up through a series of emails and obfuscations. Whereas here, this really depends. This could be one where the scandal's worse than the cover-up. In other words, they have to cover up. If, in fact, Obama or someone close to Obama knew about this and not only knew about it but sanctioned it, the New York Times has an article just today that says that the Treasury knew about this scandal
mm-hmm.
before the election. Of course, Geithner was the Treasury Secretary at the time, not Jack Lew, the current Secretary. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you start to look at that, I mean, Treasury is an agency directly under the president, whereas the IRS is two steps removed from the Oval Office, so to speak. You know, you get higher and higher up, and then you've got a Treasury Secretary who's one of the cabinet appointees who reports directly to the president. It gets harder and harder to say that he knew nothing about this. And what the great unknown here, the overlay with all this, is what's going to happen. I mean, the IRS has their new acting secretary or commissioner just named today. But you got to remember that this is the year, 2013 is the year that the IRS is supposed to begin implementing and sort of managing the Obamacare program at a time when the IRS is in absolute crisis mode. The public has never been more skeptical about the IRS or less trusting as a result of the disclosures of the last week. So at the same time, we're expecting them to take on a whole new obligation, which involves promulgating a bunch of rules and regulations that are still pretty unclear in terms of what they're going to mean. I mean, this is going to be a heck of a year for the IRS. So, you know, put your seatbelts on and let's wait and see what happens.
You know, it's terrifying to me what this is, what our government has evolved into. It really is. And, you know, we've only got a couple, 2 or 3 minutes left here, but the thing that is really probably the most frightening, Jeff, about all of this to me isn't necessarily the IRS action, as bad as that is. It's terrible. You know, it isn't necessarily the situation with Benghazi, as bad as it is. Yes, it's absolutely terrible. And the basic issue, though, that scares the hell out of me, Jeff, is the divisiveness that I have to lay on the administration that's occurring in our country right now. I mean, when you talk, when conservatives and liberals talk, I'm here to tell you, there is no middle ground. There is a tremendous amount of anger. Interestingly enough, I'm finding coming more from the liberal side than I am from the conservative side. I mean, look at Harry Reid's reaction. I mean, I've never seen and heard such venom coming from a senior politician as I've heard from Harry Reid. I mean, it's, Jeff, if anything is going to bring down this country, my friend, that's what it is. It's when people can't work things out among themselves. And with the divisiveness that we have in the United States right now, Jeff, it ain't happening, and I don't think it's going to happen.
No, it's not going to, because the left will just say, look, this is a bunch of people who hate Obama, who want the Republicans to win in 2014, who want to hurt Hillary's chances in 2016, you know, who are racist because of the first black president, whatever it is.
Yep.
They will see all of this through that filter. And I got to tell you, if you read the comments in places like the New York Times, the Huffington Post, go down to the comments section.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you'll see what America really thinks. And folks who support Obama, they say that this is good, that the IRS should have been targeting these groups, that these groups shouldn't have tax-exempt status because they're anti-American or they're anti-tax or they're anti-government. I mean, you know, not only do these reader comments show that a lot of Obama supporters think this is no big deal, but the venom that you mentioned, you know, that's so prevalent. I mean, I don't think this was the case in America 30 or 50 years ago.
I absolutely don't think it was the case in America 50 years ago, for sure. I mean, 30 years ago, there was some pretty heated discussions that I was involved in. When you talk about 30 years ago, you're kind of going back to the Reagan times, for lack of better terms. There was some pretty heated discussion then. 50 years ago, though, no, it was really, I would have to say, nothing like this. And you know what? The divisiveness is what I think could very easily tear down the country. On that positive note, what do you guys think? Hope you enjoyed the show this week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.